All right. If you have never seen the timeless comedy Three Amigos, which I'm way older than you guys, so chances are you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Because the Three Amigos are back in the saddle again together. And this is Around the ACL with Trey Ryder at the HQ in Rock Hill, Anthony Ione out in Denver, Colorado. I'm Jeff McCarriger filling in for Mish. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. And thanks for joining us today. This is awesome. When you text me today, because you've texted me a few times, Trey, to see if I can do it. It seems like last minute just doesn't often work. Today, I'm like, yes. Count me in. Love the show. You guys know I'm a huge fan. I mean, it gets me through all of our plane rides during the summer. Mish does a great job. I love it. So thanks for letting me try to drive the ship today and not sink the boat.
Jeff is going to listen to this. He's going to listen to his own episode on the way to Ventura. He's just basking in this right now.
You know,
you better watch out. Mish, if you're listening, you better watch out because Jeff is loving this right now.
Take it over. Mish, who? What was that name? I actually don't. I probably should. I don't listen to myself or watch myself anymore. I probably should to critique myself, but I don't know how you guys are. I mean, Trey, you're so good, and Anthony, you're both so good. You guys probably can watch yourselves. I just don't like watching myself. It makes me uncomfortable. Still, after all these years, I don't like it.
You guys know how I am. Trey knows he's good. I was new, so I watched every single podcast, every feed multiple times, and I'm just taking notes on what Jeff was doing. I was like, all right, I need to do that because I'm not doing that. So, yes, I analyzed every single thing. Now I'm watching him less. I go back and maybe I don't catch that show, or sometimes I even forget to record them now. In the beginning, it was like I made sure my recording was set. Now we had so many at Rapid Fire. I would miss one. I'm like, damn it! I forgot to set the recording.
So after the broadcast, I do the rough edits of some of the highlight clips, and then I send them off to our video editor to like make them look better, right? And so if you've ever seen me, like people always joke when they watch me because sometimes I do them at events and I'm sitting there cutting and everything. Like I end up having to listen to the whole broadcast all the way through again.
Oh yeah,
and so,
yeah.
So like people will hear me sometimes. They'll be sitting there and be like, you doofus, that was the dumbest thing you could have said. Like, just absolutely roasting myself. Like, okay, that was a pretty good call. That one was good. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jeff, that was a good one, Jeff. Like, I'm like talking back to this screen or whatever. So,
like, the damn play of the year. Like, you had to have that one play of the year over and over again. I was like, oh, that sucks that actually turned out to be a play of the year.
Stupid.
And by the way, not shocking at all, right, Trey, that Anthony breaks the film down.
Yeah, I'm not shocking at all. Yeah. He's wearing a cornhole science shirt. So.
Yeah.
If he could turn the camera around and show everybody what he's got behind the camera, everybody's mind would be blown. Let's just say that. And now Anthony's gonna be mad.
Yeah.
Like, what are you saying? Shut up. He's putting stuff in there.
The only way I know to not suck. You know, like if I suck at something, I just break it down and somehow I figure out how not to suck. But if you got a better way, let me know, because it's really time consuming to do it my way.
All right, boys. Sorry. So here's the problem with doing this. You know that I could easily sit here and talk, and all of a sudden we look down at the timer and we're like, oh my gosh, it's 20 minutes in. We haven't even started the show yet. Like right now, we're almost 5 minutes in, haven't even started yet.
That's right. We work with Bernie Neighbors a lot, so we're used to this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same thing.
The problem is, though, Bernie isn't driving.
Okay. You're right.
All right, are we ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's start. We got a huge show, by the way. So much to talk about. The only thing I'm a little bit sad about is that it kind of hit me today, Trey, after you text me to do the show. I mean, like, this kind of brings an end, you know, kind of the official end to the 2023 season. Like, you know, I'm glad we have the draft coming up in October. Otherwise, I'd kind of be depressed. It's like it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit sad, you know, it's coming to an end. You know, I love cornhole like I love baseball. Like, people hated extra inning games in baseball, right? I love baseball so much I could sit there all night. And when the season got over with, even in the minor leagues, we're playing 144 games. I didn't want it to come to an end. I loved it. I'm the same way with cornhole. Like, after this is over, I'm going to be like, all right, now we just got to wait. Like, we got to be patient till October. So
I will be impatient 2 weeks after. Give me 2 weeks, Jeff, and then we can get back to it.
Yep. All right, so much to talk about. We've got the Pro Invitational to talk about. We got the throwdown at Spencer McKenzie's, some news around the league to get to, and then buy or sell, and, of course, our hot takes. So, all right, let's get to it. The Pro Invitational coming up in California. I love this. We'll have broadcasts on Friday and Sunday. It's going to be a great event out there at Spencer. So the Pro Invitational broadcast will be Friday night, August 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Not even digital. I mean, ESPN DOS. So looking forward to that. And the brackets are amazing. Now, I know most of you have already seen and heard these brackets, but if you don't know the matchups, I guess we figured we'd just go through them real quick. So Mark and Rosie will play Tony and Miranda. Fisher and Yeti will play Alex and Elizabeth Tennyson. Jamie, Graham, and Cheyenne will play Caleb and Kimberly. And Cameron Belvin and Devin will play Sam Finley and Justin Burton Jr. I told Bernie the other day, I didn't realize how these matchups were chosen. So I said to Bernie on our podcast last week, I'm like, I don't know who set these matchups, but this, I'm like giddy over this. He said, dude, we just randomly picked them out of a hat. I'm like, not really. He's like, yeah, we just randomly picked them. So I mean,
I'll tell you how they were chosen. And I'm going to give Bernie a little shit here because Bernie chose them. And he was picking names underneath the camera. I was like, you got to show your hands, like, man.
What? Yeah, he's like, look at this hat I got over here. Like, this hat I'm going at. Oh, yeah, here we go.
That's exactly how it was.
Shocking. Yeah, shocking, right? All right, Trey, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, these literally, I'm not sure we could have handpicked better matchups. It really has me guessing who the favorite is. I do have one favorite, but I mean, these are really good teams.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I'm watching. I think you have one favorite, I think, that is really people are expecting. When you have a pro singles world champion and then a women's singles world champion paired up in a co-ed format, you got to think that they're going to be the heavy favorites, right? Cheyenne Bubenheim and Jamie Graham. Now, however, we had something similar happen last year, if you remember. Cheyenne Bubenheim gets paired up with Mark Richards, and they lost the first game.
The world champ, back-to-back world champs for Bubenheim.
I know. And now I know what Bernie was doing behind the scenes there. Now I understand, right? So, but Cheyenne, you know, last year wasn't able to get it done. Who'd she get eliminated by in that first game, by the way? Jamie Graham and Sarah Cassidy, right? So a little bit of redemption there possibly for Cheyenne. But in my mind, I actually like two of the first round games that I think are going to be absolute barn burners. The first game that we're going to see, Mark Richards and Rosie Streaker versus Tony Smith and Miranda Coy, right? So on one hand, you get Mark Richards versus Tony Smith again. How many times have we seen this? How much do we talk about it? I mean, just yet again, we get to talk about Mark Richards versus Tony Smith in that first game. Not to mention, you get Rosie Streaker, one of the best decorated females of all time, playing against Miranda Coy, who is playing her best cornhole ever that she's ever played, right? So I really think that's going to be an exciting matchup. And I also love the last matchup. Cameron Belvin and Devin Harbaugh, they wanted to play together, right? They're on the same team. They're both from Virginia. Like, they got some chemistry going there. They play against an all-BG team that's going to have incredible bag chemistry in Sam Finley and Justin Burton Jr. So I think you got three major storylines you could talk about with this. And I didn't even talk about some of the best players in this particular matchup.
What about you, Anthony? I mean, I'm not sure we could have picked these any better if we had literally selected them out one by one.
Yeah, Bernie did select them one by one. I think he did a good job, actually. No, he leveled it out really nice. Trey, can you define really quick what conditions we're dealing with? I heard there's kind of like a... Is this purely outdoors? Is it kind of semi-outdoors underneath the thing, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, so we're inside the fairgrounds this year, right? So in the fairgrounds, all the boards are going to be outside as normal. However, what's different this year is if you've been to a state fair or a carnival, you know the big, like, dome. It almost looks like a half pipe. They just have long exhibit halls, essentially. And they're open air, right? It's just, but it's covered. So essentially you open that door, you walk in, it's got this big kind of dome feel to it. That's where the broadcast is located. So there's not going to be any rain. anyway throughout the weekend, but rain wouldn't be an issue and wind would not be an issue. However, you're likely going to be subject still to whatever conditions are outside. So if it's sticky outside, it's going to be sticky likely in that building. If it's really dry outside, the same would be true indoors. So you're still going to battle a little bit of conditions in that space, but at least there won't be any wind involved. It'll be kind of similar to what we saw last year.
And okay, Anthony, so I just looked up, I actually just looked up the weather this morning. It's supposed to be absolutely perfect. Like low 70s, obviously no humidity or very little humidity. It might be a little bit, I guess, because you're just near the coast, but it's supposed to be like 70, 71, lows like in the upper 50s, low 60s. It's supposed to be really beautiful.
So all those matches will play then in on that stage because you're going to go from a four to a four. Okay. Yeah, so that's significant. Why are we talking about that? You know, when we're talking about this and Spencer McKenzie's, we need to keep in mind we are not indoors. And I'm an indoor cat too when it comes to cornhole. I love to be indoors so I can control those environmentals. Nothing crazy is happening, and that's going to be significant. We have to keep that in mind as we talk about this and Spencer's. But if you're taking away wind and you're taking away even just the sun, being able to see the board with nothing in the way, that also changes the conditions. You look at some of these players, you know, if I look at Mark Richards and Rosie Streaker versus Tony Smith, Miranda Coy, Mark Richards and Tony Smith are both going to play a speed control game. They throw flat bags, and here's where I think that flat bags really come into play. If I take like a guy like a Matt Guy, who's going to throw kind of a more wobbly bag, he loves to go for the airmail, higher arcs. I mean, if we look at other sports like, you know, golf, where, you know, if you get up into the wind, you know, or versus I want to stay low on certain wind shots, or, you know, being able to throw a nice spiral to cut through wind, or what a frisbee does when you're not flat or when the wind changes, those same things are going to happen to a cornhole bag. And it might not happen as extreme, but we know a quarter of an inch out of your hand makes a huge difference 30 feet away. So outdoor conditions are going to be important. And I think in that matchup, a Rosie Streaker who plays a higher bag, who plays a less flat bag, it's got a little wobble to it versus Miranda Coy. We might see Miranda Coy actually shine in that women's matchup. And I think Tony Smith and Mark Richards are going to go head to head no matter what your conditions are going to be. I think the Irwan and Tennyson matchup is going to be really close. They both throw kind of a similar, you know, not super flat. Tennyson's might be a little bit more flat, a little bit floppier bag. And then your Hamilton Rawls. I think those are two really good even matchups. Now, when you go to Kimberly Glass, I think this is where Kimberly Glass is going to struggle a lot if we're seeing any conditions underneath that covering. And if there's no wind, I think this helps Kimberly Glass a ton because technique-wise, she is throwing a faster model, slicker bag for a reason. She's a down-the-middle girl with an airmail when she needs it. If you throw any elements in there, it's going to mess her up. That's my opinion. And I think that's where a Cheyenne Bubenheim and these Florida players, you got Hamilton, Florida, Bubenheim, Florida, Streaker, Coy, all these Florida players. If you ever see Florida tournaments, they're always outside. They play outside. So I think they're going to be used to changing the elements. Tournaments going from day to night. When you get that dusk, every cornhole player who plays outside knows that they're immediately making adjustments with speed, and it changes significantly. You start hitting any kind of dew points or you get any actual dew on the boards and speeds change drastically. I think the Florida players are going to find that they're going to be more successful in this format. That's my thought.
I love this so much because you guys both know I'm a closet, or maybe not such a closet, NASCAR fan, but that's exactly what they talk about in NASCAR, how the track changes in those races that start like up in Charlotte, right? The race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, that's on Memorial Day every year. It starts out during the day, the sun's shining on the track, and it's like a 500-mile race, right? By the time it's over, it's nighttime. So as it gets cooler, as the sun goes down, the track totally changes. So you're right. I mean, that'll change things as the day goes on. I like that. Okay, two quick questions real quick while I got you guys before we move on. First one goes to you, Anthony. You were just talking about this with the conditions. How in the world, I've meant to ask you this before, did Frank Modlin, with all that wind last year, still make a run?
Yeah,
because he's got that lofty knuckleball, you know, type of bag. How did that happen?
That was the one outlier when we were watching last season, and I'm like, how is this even happening? And that's where being present at Spencer. If I were at Spencer McKenzie's this week, that would be my entire goal of this weekend, is to follow certain types of throws and certain game styles and see how the weather affected them and come out of that weekend with more knowledge on outdoor play, because we don't get a lot of that at the pro level. But that one was an anomaly. I think that was an outlier. I don't know who he matched up against. Maybe he played at certain times. I heard it was calm and then it was rough. Certain areas saw different elements than others. Maybe he just kind of navigated all that all day. It played better into his style of game. That's possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Trey, real quick to you. And sorry to bring this up, Miranda and Lori, but how much is it going to weigh on Miranda's head, you know, psychologically? And maybe this would be a good thing. Her wanting to get back on the boards and compete after what happened at Worlds.
Yeah, I think to an extent you can be a little bit disappointed, but at the same time, you can also use it as motivation, right? I mean, a chance to get back at, you know, I think it completely changes things when out of that hat that Bernie magically drew, you get Tony Smith. You're like, whoa, okay. It's a different ball game now. I think in my mind, you get a completely different shift in mentality when all of a sudden I get to play with Tony Smith. This is the, you know, this has got me locked in, right? Yeah. And I think that probably she doesn't almost view it the same way as her playing with Lori per se. Like now she's playing alongside, you know, Tony Smith, the number one player in the world. And I think that bolsters a lot of confidence and bolsters a lot of excitement for her.
Yeah, this would be again. I absolutely love these teams, and I'm with you. I've got my favorite. I mean, Jamie and Cheyenne, you would think could be tough to beat, but man, love some of these pairings.
Hey, all if right, we were picking a favorite, maybe just a closing statement here, because I didn't say that. Yes, that's your obvious one. I'm sitting here staring at a Cameron Belvin and a Devin Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Belvin, who was, what was it, third overall last year, Harbaugh winning Spencer McKenzie's, and remember that outdoor shootout with Noah Wooten. Cameron Belvin also battling the elements there. It was a shootout, right? And it was the first.
Yes. In Atlanta.
First female and a gender neutral. Anyways, outdoors. So Cameron Belvin, which kind of defies some of my logic a little bit. Another kind of, you know, floppy looking bag in the air, limited on shots down the middle, airmail. But somehow Cameron Belvin has done really well outdoors. And then Devin Harbaugh winning both doubles and crew cup last year. I think you have two proven outdoor players teamed up there. They could be tough.
And of course, the captain of the world champs, the Ringers.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I like that. I like that. All right. Let's move on to the throwdown by Spencer McKenzie's. So, I'm not sure exactly how we want to go at this. I mean, there's over 1,000 teams this year playing for over $300,000 in prize money.
Yeah. You just read the list, read all 1,000 teams. Go for
just
it.
Just real quick. No,
yeah.
No problem.
And then the next bullet point is roster. So, all right. So let's pick some that just kind of stick out to us, because it actually was fun, because this forced me to go through the roster this morning and take a look at some names. There are some really awesome matchups, but real quick, a couple of questions. I did see the name. Is there an Amy Bubenheim? Anybody see this? Am I the only person who saw this? Any relation? I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah. I think it's Brandon's mom.
Is that right?
I think
okay.
So.
I mean, it has to be, right? So that stuck out to me. Welcome back, Davis Streaker. Paired up with Terry Kirby. So Davis Streaker back on the boards. Love that. That's one. Awesome. And then here, just one more for you, and I want to let you guys do most of the talking, because you guys are way better at this. But Matt Sorrells. We talked about this on our podcast last week. Welcome back, Matt Sorrells. I'm not sure where his game is at, but I know from talking to him at Worlds, guys, he is super motivated and excited to be back and close to the game. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to play at or have that same success, because the game is just light years beyond where it was. I feel like last time we saw him as a significant player, but man, he's putting in the work. Great to see him back. He's one of my OGs, one of the first guys I ever met. So helpful to me in my career, just like you were, Trey. And Anthony, you too. But so happy to see him back. And he's paired with Blaine Rozier, you know, our favorite out of Auburn. So interesting team to watch. But all right, Trey, let's start with you. What are some big names that popped out to you?
Yeah, quick note right there, though, on Sorrells. It leads into, you know, someone I'm watching is, you know, Bernie said this on ACL Live last night, iron sharpens iron. And right now, Sorrells is building a practice routine playing alongside Fisher Hamilton, Blaine Rozier, and Alex Rawls. Yeah. And if you're continuing to play against those players on a daily basis, it's only going to make you play better. So,
and where are they always playing?
Outside.
Outside.
Yeah. So I think Sorrells and Rozier could absolutely make a run here. Now, again, you don't know where the consistency is with Sorrells. We did see him play pretty well in the pro qualifier, in Rock Hill. So I expect him to be pretty successful. But, all right, so I'm watching a couple teams. Like, let's look at the Final Four from last year, okay? You obviously had Ryan Windsor, Devin Harbaugh. They're back. They're playing together, okay? In the finals, they played Trevor Brooks and Berkeley Pear. They're playing together. The other two, Mark Richards and Alex Hicks, they're also playing together again. Cameron Belvin and Noah Wooten, they also made the Final Four last year. So all four Final Four teams are also back again this season. So naturally, my eyes have to go towards looking at them. They've had success at this event in the same location. They should be able to translate some level of success. Now, whether or not they're guaranteed to make a Final Four, that's an entirely different story, right? But you have to think that they're going to come armed with some motivation and some experience of playing at a high level. Other teams that I'm looking at that you just expect to do really well, Fisher Hamilton and Gavin Cano, they have the play style, the bag, and the ability to play at a high level. And arguably, if I look at them, as well as Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson, I could make an argument that those two were the most dominating doubles teams on the year without even mentioning Tony Smith and Jacob Drzezinski. Because in my mind, you have Batson and Grindersleeve and Fisher Hamilton and Gavin Cano. The only difference between those two teams, their performance on the broadcast court. If you give the same level of success that Hamilton and Cano had off the broadcast court on the broadcast court, yes, we may be talking about Hamilton and Cano being the dominating team on the season.
Yep.
Now, coulda, woulda, shoulda, what if, whatever. The bottom line is Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson have put together the most dominating season from a doubles team that we've ever seen. So I'm watching them. I'm watching Hamilton and Cano. And, of course, I'm watching Justin Burton Jr. and Logan Chamberlain. These are three core pro teams that play at an extremely high level, that can deliver a lot of bags in the hole and play and master these conditions. So I'm looking for a lot of those. If I'm possibly looking for a sleeper-ish team of something to look for, a team that is from California, that has had a lot of success, that we never got to see play together once all year long in a pro tournament. And that's Adrian Brunson and Vincent Frisch. These two players, young PDC players with a limited number of PDC spots for juniors, never came out of the bracket at the same time, meaning they could never play pro doubles together. But both made a living last year playing spoiler at the open events when they were amateurs, ruining the days of pro players because of their high talent. I think this is an opportunity for Brunson and Frisch to kind of put it all together, have a really, really successful tournament, and I think finish in some good money.
All right, Anthony, that is a great segue, because Trey and I called Trey earlier this morning and asked him, you know, is there an age limit for Spencer McKenzie's? There is not. There are some really great young players who are going to be out in California who will be pros in their rookie season next year. You've seen some of these juniors or any of those players, ones that you're going to keep your eye on?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, if you want to segue right into that, why wouldn't we go to the new partnership, the 2024 partnership out of Buffalo, AJ Sims and Braden Wilson? So yeah, them just getting together, that's an interesting squeeze in into McKenzie. I mean, they just revealed, what was it, this week or last week? So I'd be looking out for him. And we saw what he could do on USA Cornhole in the juniors event. And both of them have what I think is going to be important. If you're out there and you're looking at Adam Hissner messing around, throwing bags on his knees, he's doing that for a reason. You know, he's keeping that bag low. He's staying under any high winds that are going on. So a Braden Wilson, who's probably coming in at 5'1", he's got this really low, he has a low bag anyway. His release is barely off the ground. So these juniors, you know, they could do really well if the elements really come into play and everybody's dealing with tough winds. You mentioned the top four returning, just some other players that I noticed that are returning that were right outside of the top four. So I assume these were like brackets. So these were probably guys that ended up in the championship match to get out of their pool or their bracket. You got that California team, Tyler Parent and Brevin Valdivia, surprisingly made a really, really deep run. They were one win away from making the broadcast, or at least making the bottom four. And I think we got to take these ranks, right? We're talking about who was the best player in the world, who was the best doubles team in the world. We are outdoors, and I think everything is going to change. Parent Valdivia were 69th and 116th in the division last year and a game away from the final four. Mm-hmm. You also saw that with the Sasueta brothers, 83rd and 77th, one win away from final four. You got guys like Dingus and Lucas Jr., who I think are throwing the right bag type. They have the similar game, 97th and 39th, you know, making it deep into this stuff. So I think we have to take away what we typically think as rankings or best players in the pro division. We got to toss those out because I think everything is going to change when we get outdoors. I like that you mentioned Logan Chamberlain and Burton Jr. They weren't even on radar yet, right? National radar. They were on a lot of our radars as players coming in, but they took 9th overall. I think they come in much better players. Let's fast forward a year. Who's a much better doubles team right now? Chamberlain and Burton is going to be one of those coming in that are going to be tough. How do you not look at, you know, the three in a row, three doubles team winners in a row with Grindersleeve and Batson coming in here and going, how can these guys not be threats to win this thing? I said, yes, you can throw that stuff out, but we're talking about players that I think fit perfectly into this outdoor style. Beautiful, rotating flat bags. I think Grindersleeve's bag is downhill the whole way. If you can tell me a guy can throw a bag downhill the whole way, I think he's going to be successful in any kind of wind conditions. You mentioned Fisher Hamilton and Kano. I'm looking at some of the other matchups that maybe we haven't mentioned. We're going to get Smith and Wiedenfeld. Graham Eric Davis could be tough. Kingsbury, Rawls, both Florida players. We talked about Florida really used to playing outdoors. I like them. Hisner Henderson, so much history with these guys, specifically playing outdoors. I think they're going to be tough. Man, there's so many I could talk about, but those are the kind of ones that are standing out to me right now.
Hey, guys, I think there's one team that we've got to bring up on there that I noticed today that no one seems to be talking about.
Who is it?
One of these players really has been putting in a lot of work lately. Another guy behind the scene. A lot of guys know the name, but maybe don't appreciate the work. I mean, I think we really need to look out for Wally Kassler and Sean Latham. I mean, that's a powerful team. I mean, come on now.
I mean, we might have to put them right behind the power couple. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. We've got Trey Ryder and Shelby Ryder on the list.
That was the next one. Yep.
Stop playing. That's a free dub for somebody. Bernie right, and I talked about it last night. Bernie said on ACL Live last night, he goes, you just need to mentally prepare. If you lose, if you are a pro and you lose to Wally Kassler and Sean Latham, you will never hear the end of it.
Yes.
You will never ever hear the end of it.
So true. So true. Awesome. Hey, Wally can play a little bit. I mean, Sean can too.
Welcome back to Open Number 7. And we're going to come up next. We got the guys that lost to me and Sean here in yes. Topeka, Kansas. I mean.
Oh, you know it.
Wally's bag is in trouble outdoors. It's Wally, that bag is going to be trash outdoors. I'm sorry, man. It's going to be. He's going to be aiming about a foot right of the board to get it to end up on the board.
Oh man. Love that. There are a couple teams, Trey, that I wanted to run past you. Just a couple on a serious note that I saw that stuck out to me for one reason or another. Kevin Arnold. Tell me about Kevin Arnold and his game. He's teamed up with Josh Holland. Any chance for those two?
I mean, be
a huge look, surprise.
I think it would be, but at the same time, I mean, depends what Josh Holland we get. If I put Josh Holland, if I get 2022 Josh Holland, then I'm probably feeling pretty good, right? 2023 Josh Holland, not been as good. I mean, he's got a bag flight for it. It's just so dependent on him, right? I mean, here's the thing with these outdoor tourneys. With these outdoor tournaments, you can have an A and a B player succeed.
That's what I was kind of wondering, yeah.
If that B player is really good at throwing with the wind or into the wind or any combination of the two and can limit damage by a different player and then, you know, have the damage done on the other end, you can have some success, right? But it just needs a dominating performance. Haaland would have to be unbelievable.
Okay. And then one more, Anthony, if you want to take this. Again, it just stuck out. It stuck out to me. I don't know. Carson Getty, Jalen Jones. I mean, at times, I mean, we saw Jalen really play well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, any chance those guys can make a run? I mean, I'm looking for a kind of a surprise name maybe to break through.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about winning this thing. I don't think so. Jalen Jones, he has a weird angle to his bag. Now he's just going to have to adjust to whatever curve or whatever movement he's getting out of that. I think Carson Getty does pretty well outdoors. He has the ability to move bags both directions, and that's what it comes down to is when you get outdoors, are all these players able to – are the shots that they typically go to going to be available? And that's where I think that these roll bag guys are going to have a little bit more of an advantage. You miss an airmail, you're gone. We're going to have a lot of missed airmails, and we're going to have a lot of missed roll bags, but there's going to be a lot of one points, a lot of ones that just end up kind of on the board or even in a block position on accident. Or a back block on accident with the roll bag. So I think this is where your roll bag is actually a better choice for developed roll bags, not developing roll bags.
Right, right. And then two more partnerships that I saw. I mean, Tanner and Eric Zachlein, they made a pretty good run last year. And then Jordan Kamba and James Baldwin. I guess I just never know about these guys. I just never know what you're going to get. I saw Jordan finished, I think, just outside the top 100. You know, coming back into the game full time this past year. I don't know. I'm not sure if they can, you know, if they can make a deep run at all.
They've won this event before, though. If there's anything
that's true.
That speaks to them, they have won it before. Now, it was a couple of years ago, right? It's been a while, but at the same time, I mean, they have the experience. I do like them outside. Outside is better, but they're gonna have to have their best tournament in. I mean, they're gonna have to have their best finish in years. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. It's literally going to be their best. They had their best tournament since the World Championships in 2021 if they're going to win it.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to cut through the wind really nice. Beautiful wind-cutting bags, but they're airmail before roll. And I think that's going to be a con in the pro-con analysis.
All right. Next up, news around the league. And I'm assuming that this is really big news, Trey. I mean, Mike Selmayr, twin brother Brandon, wins the Mountain South ACL Pro Qualifier. Nick Moore wins the Mid-South ACL Pro Qualifier. I mean, this is big stuff. I mean, it's all this Pro Qualifier stuff was so much fun. I finally got a chance this year to walk around for about an hour and a half and watch all the emotions, ups and downs, just the huge shots, the pressure. That's a big deal. So congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, Pro Qualifier is always, you know, you walk in those on Pro Qualifier Day, there's loud screams and there's bags hitting walls and there's tears and it's just a whirlwind of emotions. But I thought it was really cool that Mike Selmayr was able to get the win there. He qualifies to be a pro. And then another national college cornhole champion becomes an ACL pro. Nick Moore, of course, from the University of Tennessee. He wins it with Taylor Cathy a couple of years ago. I mean, that was so much fun. He had that. Remember in the semifinals, he had that bag that just sat on the side and it was falling, and then it went.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was crazy. I mean, he had to have it. So yeah, it'd be cool to see yet another collegiate player kind of develop into an ACL pro level talent.
All right, we got to keep moving on. Any other notable names on application? Any news on that? On people who are on the outside looking in that have surprised you, shocked you?
I saw one on the outside today, loud and clear. Was it Austin Renard? Did you see? I think your chat ended up in an actual post where I think he's the first. Is he the first right outside?
Yeah, he's the first right outside.
He's the first right outside. My man wants that spot. How do we make it happen?
Oh, my gosh. It's brutal. So this year, this is the last year of applications. Next year, they'll go, we'll migrate into some sponsor exemptions, keep a couple spots for, like, people with extenuating circumstances. But this year, we took less than 2%. So, I mean, you're talking about everybody's getting rejected, essentially. I mean, everybody's getting rejected. So this was not meant to, in previous years, the application process that people don't understand is there were 65 people accepted on an application last season. 65, right? That's a good chunk of the pro division. There was a concerted effort this year to say, let's start taking the steps towards You got to earn it. No more accepting off applications. We're a different spot in the league. It's different than it was back in the day. So these 10 spots are used for mostly extenuating circumstances, right? With a few sprinkled in, right? And yeah, I mean, we could talk about resumes all day long, but in the end, like if you want to guarantee a spot, you got to earn it, right? You got to earn that spot. So
yeah.
only 10 total people accepted off of application this year. So
from 65 last year.
Yes, to 10.
Wow.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a yeah. completely different game now. So.
Yep. All right. Are we ready to move on to my favorite part of your guys' show? I love this. Buy or sell. And thank God Trey's doing the graphics, by the way. I could not possibly talk and listen and do these graphics at the same time. That was the other thing I called Trey for. I'm like, by the way, who's running these damn graphics? Because I can't do that while I'm talking. Yeah. All right. Time for buy or sell. Here we go. Number one, Devin Harbaugh and Ryan Windsor should be the favorites to win the throwdown again. Anthony, let's start with you. Devin Harbaugh and Ryan Windsor should be the favorites to win the throwdown again. Buy or sell?
Should be, yes. I think they should be the favorites. They are the returning champs in both doubles and crew cup. They won the crew cup too, didn't they, if I remember correctly? Yeah, so yeah, they absolutely should be the favorites. I would buy that. But keep in mind, you got Batson Grindersleeve right behind him. When was the last time they lost a doubles tournament? Thorne and Smith teaming up are going to be tough. Chamberlain, Burton, Hamilton, Connell, we've talked about some of those. The field is going to be tough against the favorites.
Trey?
I'm selling it. I think you got to – Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson have not done anything to get knocked off the mountaintop. I don't give a rip if it's outside. They got the bags to handle it.
Yep.
They're your betting favorites, if I had to guess.
I think you kind of touched on it a second ago. Anytime it's player X or players X and Y against the field, I'm taking the field all the time.
Especially
in a tournament like this. The field is just so difficult.
But if you're setting the lines, who are you putting at number one? Anthony, are you putting Windsor and Harbaugh number one?
I will, yes.
I'd put Grindersleeve and Batson number one. They're first on my betting line sheet.
I'm saving mine for holy hot takes. Which is probably not a hot take, but anyway. All right, number two. It's impossible for a non-carpet bag throwing team to win the throwdown. All right, Anthony, it's impossible for a non-carpet bag throwing team to win the throwdown. Buy or sell?
Okay, I'm starting to not like the use of carpet versus non-carpet. A year ago, we didn't know what to call it, right? We were just trying to categorize these type of players. They just all threw the carpet bags. Now that category has grown a little bit. I think we need to be calling it something else. It's more of a style of play versus carpet versus non-carpet. But look at the top four players in the world. Tony Smith, no carpet. Alex Rawls, no carpet. Jamie Graham, no carpet. Mark Richards, no carpet. But what do they all have in common is they play what we would call a carpet style game. They have a developed roll bag. They have the ability to control speed. And they have the ability to flip over to a slick side and hammer pushes and collects when they need to. The way it's worded, I'm going to have to sell because it's definitely possible for a non-carpet person to come in.
Man, I wish we had a lot more time. We're already running way behind. Shocking, right? I'm so with you on that, Anthony. I just said that a couple weeks ago on our podcast. I'm done calling it carpet versus not carpet. I'm done calling it sticky game versus slide game. I'm calling it offense versus defense. What's your style? Just like in the NFL. Are you a defensive-minded coach? Are you a defensive-minded player? Are you an offensive-minded player? Are you an offensive-minded coach? I think that is a much more professional, higher way of thinking and looking at it than this carpet versus non-carpet, sticky versus, because you're right. Mark Richards is going out there playing a little bit more of a defensive style game with pro snipers, right?
Yep.
So yeah, I'm totally with
you
on that. If
I had to pick a term, I would say the ability to play the front of the hole. So maybe you need to throw a block. Maybe you need to handle a block. Maybe you need to push through a block. Maybe you need to collect. Maybe you need to roll. Yeah. It's the ability to play the front of the hole, I think, is the way I would probably define it if I had to call it something right now.
All right, Trey, it's impossible for a non-carpet bag throwing team to win the throwdown. Buy or sell?
So based on how it's worded there, like, right, I'll agree with what Anthony's saying. I'll sell it. Now, what I will say is I will buy it if the question is differently worded, as in you have to have defensive skills in order to win the throwdown. I will buy that. Frank Modlin got close, but you will not see a Frank Modlin type player win the throwdown.
No way.
Buy it. Impossible.
Yeah, really difficult. All right, number three, Jamie Graham and Cheyenne Bubenheim will dominate the Pro Invitational. Anthony.
Sell. They will not dominate. Dominate, the keyword.
Trey?
I will buy and say they will dominate it. And
oh,
I say
love
they
this.
Will.
I'm going to start the Twitter post right now, Trey. Me and you.
We're going to
follow it. We're going to follow it to the end.
I think they win pretty handily every game that they play. So we'll see if that comes true.
It's so funny because I'm going to go totally back on what I just said. When you give me X versus the field, I'm taking the field. Not so fast. I'm taking Graham and Bubenheim. I don't think anyone's going to beat them. I mean, you got Cheyenne, top female ranked pro player. You got Jamie Graham, world champion. I think they're just playing too good right now. All right, number four, we got to keep moving on. A top five ACL pro team wins the throwdown. A top five ACL pro team wins the throwdown. Anthony, buy or sell?
That's a good one. That is a good one. So who are we betting on? Hamilton, Kano, Batson, Grindersleeve. I think that our only top five team? We're betting on those two, I think. Strong fit, like here. Strong chances to win this thing. I mean, top four, top five. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to sell just because I kind of said that Harbaugh and Windsor were going to be the favorites. I'm going to have to sell because I took that one.
Right. So is this crazy if I buy it?
No,
because this is who I get. I get Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson. Mm-hmm. I get Logan Chamberlain and Justin Burton Jr. And I get Gavin Kano and Fisher Hamilton. Those are the three that I get. I'll go crazy. I'll say buy it. If I get those three teams, I understand I'm betting three versus 997. But I'll go crazy. I'll buy it. I like all three teams stylistically. They're all hot. They're all top five teams. I'll buy it.
All right, last one. Trey Ryder will break the record for most fish burritos eaten in a single weekend. Anthony, buy or sell?
Hey, from the way Trey was talking these up last year, I want one. Like, how do I get one shipped to me? I'm going to buy.
Smart.
Buy.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. I think I'm going to break your record. You introduced me to these last year. You and Jason McCannon were out there basically feeding them in my face. And man, they are so delicious.
Let's in a little secret that nobody else is going to listen to, right? Because nobody listens. Like there's nobody else here. John is making me a gift. When I went to his restaurant, okay, and you can't let me down, John, if you're listening to this, because you promised. In his restaurant, he has an appetizer called the Ring of Fire, which is seared ahi tuna in a very spicy Ring of Fire sauce. So I said, John, I want your grilled fish and shrimp burrito, but throw in the spicy tuna to the burrito and eat and make that one burrito. And he said, that's a great idea.
Lunchtime?
Yeah, he said, that's a great idea that I'll make it for you. So now I have added extra incentive here on these burritos.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. They are so good. Like, and you can't even really hardly put into words how good they are. I mean, you just have to have one. Just enormous and stuffed. I mean, just chock full,
guys,
with fish. Oh,
freaking
so
killing me. I'm so jealous right now. This is crazy.
Yeah, so good.
This is crazy. How am I not there?
All right, the throwdown women's doubles as we kind of wrap up our talk here about Spencer McKenzie's. By the way, the finals broadcast, though, I mentioned we have two broadcasts. We've got the Pro Invitational on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2. The Spencer McKenzie's finals will be broadcast. That's Sunday, isn't it, Trey? 5 p.m.?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. local.
Okay. And that'll be on Sunday.
ESPN2.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, here I see it. ESPN2, Sunday, August 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's wrap things up with women's doubles. I mean, just a few names, obviously. I'm sure you guys will have some similar. Cheyenne playing with Gina Ramirez, Kimberly and Yeti, Rosie and Samantha playing together, Connie Altice and Cameron playing together. I mean, some really solid teams. All right, Trey, who any other teams, women's side, that stick out to you?
Yeah, I think you hit a couple. I really like Cheyenne Boobenheim and Gina Ramirez. Remember, Gina Ramirez went from PDC player, promoted, wins a shootout, and then came one round away from eliminating Cheyenne Boobenheim from the Women's Pro Shootout Championship, an event that she has now won 3 years in a row. This is a scary team that I wouldn't want to play in women's doubles. If I have to pick one team for people to watch out for, the Hawaii girls brought the heat last year and made really deep runs. I'm talking about the Calvi girls, Michaela and Alyssa, two young girls that have come through, really become leaders in Hawaii cornhole and are now looking to make a splash year over year. I think they can make a really deep run. So if I'm not looking at Boobenheim and Ramirez, if I'm not looking at Rosie Streaker and Sam Finley, maybe the Calvi girls make a deep run.
All right, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this one for the first time, though. So last year, it looks like McBride and Ham won. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
For those not familiar, they're back. Okay, they're going to be playing together. So some high school players that we've been watching. I've been watching them since they were 13, 14. Outstanding female players partnered up. Kaylee Hunter and Megan Maupin. So that was your final, was those two. Do we have Hunter and Maupin teaming up again?
I didn't see them together. Did you, Trey?
No.
Yeah, I didn't see them playing together.
And then I didn't see Bella anywhere on the list unless I missed it. I'm just kind of going to some of those. Hey, if McBride and Ham are teaming up again, these girls have absolutely been killing it for years, and they just continue to get better. I'm excited to see them eventually make their way to the pro division because I think they could really jack up the female division, really shuffle those rankings pretty good. So I like your Hawaii pick. Those girls, we've been watching them for a while as well. They travel in big packs. I love seeing Hawaii show up to tournaments. They always, you know, kind of dressed in similar jerseys or tops, and they travel in packs, and those Calvi girls are awesome. I'm going to go McBride Ham again to run it back.
All right. Very good. All right, let's save a few more seconds. Let's get right to our hot takes because we only got like a minute left. We can fudge maybe a few seconds. My favorite thing. All right, here we go. Holy hot takes to wrap up the show. Trey, I guess you're first.
I want to go first because Anthony has no faith. This is the hottest hot take I've ever had.
Okay, what do you got?
Wally Kessler and Sean Latham beat a team with one pro on it at some point this weekend.
Oh!
love it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Hot. Okay. Steaming.
That is steaming love
it.
Hot.
Yeah, steaming. Love it.
Okay, we haven't mentioned their names actually the whole episode. I'm thinking who can be successful outdoors. I love the lower release of a shorter pitcher. I love the chemistry. I love that these boys play outdoors consistently. Every time I see them practicing, they are outdoors. I'm going to go with the Gore boys are your 2023 Spencer McKenzie's champions.
Hot Whoa, take. Holy wow. Hot take of the year, Batman. Whoa. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, now that makes mine seem really dumb. So I'll wrap it up real quickly here, about 10 seconds. And Trey, you mentioned it earlier. All right. I'm done playing this game. All year, I feel like I've overlooked Eddie and Caleb. All year. I mean, we went on our show, never really talked about these guys. All they did was win two nationals and the world championship. I am done. So whether it's a hot take or not, Eddie and Caleb, lock it up. They're going to win it again. They are unstoppable right now, and that's my hot take. All right. Guys, thank you so much. This is so much fun. Seriously, love the show. Mish, you do a great job. Missed you, and look forward to Trey. Anthony, I won't see you. Trey, I'll see you in California, so safe travels. And thanks again for letting me come on the show with you guys.
Good times, fellas.
All right, bye, everybody.